Well, good afternoon. Thanks everyone for joining us in this later session. And also I apologize that we weren't actually on the printed agenda. We actually just announced Office Mix customer preview last week, so we couldn't get on the agenda because it was getting printed before we announced the product. So thank you for showing up. My name is Isaac Harris. I'm a senior program manager for the Startup Business Group at Microsoft. And I want to tell you about Office Mix, which is an incredibly simple way to make online lessons and training using PowerPoint and share them in the Microsoft Cloud. So the first thing people ask me when they see my title and they say, well, what is the Startup Business Group? So I'll try to explain. We start with some great research coming out of Microsoft Research and new technologies that no one's seen or heard of before, as well as some ideas from around the company within the Startup Business Group and other places. And we take those ideas and technologies and we incubate them. We then partner with our product engineering teams to then bring a lot of those technologies to market. So a few examples, FreshPaint. Who's heard of FreshPaint here? Anyone? A few people? So we did FreshPaint as a great example of, you know, how a touch application should work in Windows 8. This actually started as a research project called Project Gustav, where some researchers were trying to figure out how do you simulate how paint interacts with various media, whether it's canvas or paper, and various brushes. So research to product very quickly. Our next product was PowerMap for Excel. Anyone heard of a couple? So that actually started out as Worldwide Telescope in Microsoft Research, which was an astronomy app. And we took it and turned it into an add-in for Excel that allows you to plot your data, if it's geocoded, plot your data on a map. And if you have time series data, you can play back that geocoded data over time. So it's super cool. And then finally, or most recently, we did 3D Builder and all of the 3D print infrastructure for Windows 8.1. So we're super happy with our sort of app model and our incubation model. And our most recent... Now, our most recent endeavor is Office Mix. There we go. Which is this add-in for PowerPoint. So our motivation behind Office Mix is that Microsoft Research has been looking for quite a while at how technology is used in the classroom, how teachers use it, how students use it, you know, starting in sort of K through 12 through higher ed. And of course, we also look at corporate education and how people are trained. And they said, well, you know, education is actually transforming. You know, it's gone from this traditional model involving static books, teachers standing at the front of the class and lecturing, to a more dynamic model where you have things like flipped classroom, where the teacher sends students home with a video lecture, or has them do some interactive courseware like Khan Academy at home, and then they come into class to do more hands-on problem solving. And that's just one mode. There are a few other new pedagogies that are being used. But one of the important things in this modern world is that, you know, students get very continuous feedback, so they know whether they're understanding a concept or not. If you get an interactive quiz wrong, then you know you need to study more, and you can find more resources online to do that and learn. So it's great for identifying, you know, learning gaps early rather than waiting for, you know, end of quarter exams to figure out if you really know something or not. So this all looks great, but we looked at the issue and said, well, the issue is modern hasn't been easy for teachers. It involves a certain number of skills and hardware and software that, you know, traditionally has been expensive, skills that teachers would have to go learn to create online lessons. And things like audio and video production are just not easy out of the box. If you wanted to do anything interactive, you probably would have to do a little web development. And then if you did that, then you'd have to figure out a way to host and secure those interactive activities that you'd created. And that's just a really high bar to set for someone to create a lesson. Teachers should have to focus on their students and teaching great lessons, not all the things that, all the technology around a lesson. So we came up with Office Mix. And we said really the three things that teachers have to be able to do well is create a lesson, engage their students with interactive content and easy sharing, and then be able to evaluate whether or not the lessons are working. So we said, and we have to use a tool that everyone is familiar with. And so we said, all you should need is PowerPoint. A lot of teachers already use PowerPoint for lessons, and a lot of professors use it as well. So one click down from that, you know, we said, okay, we will give PowerPoint superpowers. which means you can record your lesson, audio and video. You can write on your screen like a whiteboard and capture that inking. You can then insert quizzes and interactive labs from a, you know, an available library of activities, and then share that in the cloud. So students, you have no idea what device they might have, so it should be able to play back on any device. So as long as it works in a modern browser, we think we'll have students covered. And then finally, teachers need to be able to see results. They have to be able to get analytics for every slide and every student to know for sure if the lesson is working and where kids are getting hung up. Okay, so enough of the pitch. I'll just show you the Office Mix in action. So I worked with a friend in Microsoft Research to come up with a quick lesson demonstration. So this is what the student would see when they get a link from their teacher of, and this is the Office Mix lesson player right here. It works in any modern browser. And so this is an introduction to Ohm's Law, which is an important concept in physics and electrical engineering.
Hi, my name is James, and I'm curious. Curious about electricity. Lightning bolts, Teslas, electric eels, circuit boards. Electricity is everywhere, but what is it? How does it work? How do we harness its amazing power? Today, I'm going to answer some of these questions. So take my hand, if you will, as we embark on a fantastic adventure that I call Ohm's Law. Ohm's Law helps us to understand how circuits work. A circuit is just a collection of electrical devices. Those devices are arranged in a special way that controls how electricity flows through the circuit. For example, look at a flashlight. I mean, don't literally look into a flashlight.
So, first of all you're seeing here is, you know, PowerPoint being played back with full fidelity and an audio and video soundtrack that is timed to that. In the previous slide, you saw a little bit of inking on the screen where he drew an arrow at his picture. So it's a very familiar interface. It looks like video. It's actually playing PowerPoint in the web. So our web access client. So you can
but
do
you
more
can
things.
In like a scientific so manner.
You can do things
You'll
like.
You'll see that the flashlight contains several electrical devices.
Sorry.
You'll see batteries.
So you do things like layers and interesting photographic effects, just like regular PowerPoint. We think for science and math that ink is actually really important.
I
so here, I'll skip
R.
ahead.
That's it. V equals I times R. You're basically an electrical engineer now. So for example, if you have a 9-volt battery, and you have a 2-ohm resistor, then how much current will flow through the circuit? Well, we know that V equals I times.
So for inking, I was an electrical engineer as an undergrad. You know, this is actually kind of hard with an equation editor. If a professor has to bring out the equation editor for every slide, that's just a lot of time to create a lesson. So being able to ink on the screen is just a huge, huge time saver for them. You can also do things like, you know, keep the content engaging and interesting by embedding web video. So we can embed like a YouTube video. I'll give you a quick example of that.
Ohms.
So to motivate the lesson, you could say, okay, what happens when you try to fetch the toast with a metal knife from a toaster? And we created this. Led in with a YouTube video, and then we embedded this interactive lab that I built in about an afternoon using something called TouchDevelop, which is just, you know, you can embed basically any web page or any Office Mix lab app, and it looks something like this. So you have some UI elements. You can say, well, what happens when voltage goes up? Well, current increases, and when resistance goes up, the current slows down. That's Ohm's Law right there in a very simple demonstration. So finally, once you've sort of given them a chance to play around with the concept, you can then test their knowledge with a quiz. So it will look something like this.
My name is James, and I'm...
Here we go. So again, a teacher could embed this. You can basically embed a quiz just as easily as you would embed clip art today. The teacher gets a form, they fill it out, they identify what the correct answer is, in this case, in a multiple choice quiz. So when the student gets here, they can say, well, I'll guess none of the above. I'll submit that answer. It tells me I'm wrong. You can provide a hint down below. And then the teacher can decide how many times the student gets to attempt the quiz before moving them along. I'll give the right answer here so we can continue. And then you can do things like screen captures. So you could actually say what you should have learned in the lab and then applied to the quiz is this. So you can actually give the demonstration that shows the answer in a screen capture. So you're probably thinking, this all looks great, but how hard is it really to create a lesson and make it look nice? So my next demonstration, I'll just show you the authoring experience and how easy it is to create a short and simple lesson. So we'll switch away from academic topics and move to pizza. That's a good topic, right? So this is just a normal PowerPoint deck. I took some of these pictures myself and put together the process of how to build a pizza. So if you see here, we have this brand new mix tab. This is where PowerPoint gets all its new special powers. You can record the lesson. You can insert quizzes, videos, and apps, do some screen capture, preview what you've sort of created, and then upload to the cloud. So it's a very simple process. When I hit the record button, I end up in the lesson recorder experience. So it's a little dark. It might take the webcam a minute to zoom in on me. So you get a little preview of what you will look like on the webcam. You don't have to use the webcam. I will just for demonstration purposes. But you can adjust your mic and then make sure you look nice in the frame before you start recording. So here, I'll just start recording a short video to introduce myself. I'll pick a pen color so people can see me right on the screen. So say, hi, I'm Isaac. I'm going to show you how to build a pizza in the next few steps. This is me right here. So it inserts the little video thumbnail in the corner. This is PowerPoint, and I can move things around. So you saw I kind of accidentally marked over the video. And rather than re-record, I'll just jump back into PowerPoint's main view. And you can see ink works like any other object in PowerPoint. I can drag it around. I can stretch it. I can shrink it and edit very easily without having to re-record. I can resize my video, too, if I want. So there. So then I go back to the lesson recorder and start my next slide. Okay, so the other thing is, you know, all the bells and whistles of PowerPoint still apply. I can do animations. So in this step, if I'm going to talk about ingredients, I can say, well, the first thing you need is dough. And you can cheat and buy it at the store, or you can make your own. Now, the nice thing about PowerPoint is you can embed links. So links work just as you would expect. So right here, people can click my link and get a recipe for making their own dough if they want to go the hard way. Next, you would talk about, well, you're going to need some sort of sauce. Again, you can cheat and buy it in a jar. Or you could dice up some tomato, onion, garlic, add some olive oil, and make that your base. And then finally, you know, you want some sort of toppings and protein. So in this case, we'll use Suppressata, grated mozzarella, you know, some oregano and crushed red pepper. And, you know, if people don't like that recipe, they can, you know, look at a great menu right here. So there, I've just recorded step two. So you can, again, preview. PowerPoint still apply. I can do animations. So in this step, if I'm going to talk about ingredients, I can say, well, the first thing you need is dough. And you can cheat and buy it at the store, or you can make your own. Now, the nice thing about PowerPoint is you can embed links. So links work just as you would expect. So right here, people can click my link and get a recipe for making their own dough if they want to go the hard way. OK, so that's kind of the basic authoring. And I can skip to the next slide and get to the actual steps. So the question is every slide its own presentation? So yes, you can record slides individually, but you could also record a string of slides together. I didn't have to stop between slides. If I'm on a roll, I could just keep going. Absolutely, yes. Yeah, so I'm actually using a clicker to advance my animation just like a normal PowerPoint presentation.
So literally, as you set this up, you're going to walk through this just the way, you know, the way you're going to talk through it, the way the animation is going to pop up, the way you're going to draw the screen
For animations, you want to do that before you record. You can actually go back and change image assets if they're not animated. Like if I don't like the background, I could swap that out without re-recording. If I want to change the theme of the slide, I could do that. If I want to change the text on the slide, I can do that without re-recording. So we do know where the slide boundaries are. So the question was, how do you know where the slides change, right? So we keep track of where the slide boundaries are because in our lesson player, you might have noted there were some timeline markers that showed exactly where the next slide is.
Can you edit the audio at all?
So editing the audio. So PowerPoint has some basic audio and video editing tools. So if I cough at the beginning or I have a long pause, I can trim the lesson video just as you would any other embedded media in PowerPoint. Yes. So the question is, can I record things besides basically what's on the slide? And that's why we have a built-in screen recorder. So you can record any other app from within the tool. This is the lesson recorder view. We surface that tool sort of in the mix tab. Yes, the question is, would you use this tool to build a lesson about how to use another application without building slides, correct? Yes, you could do that too. You would have one slide, which would be the video, or you could break it up into slides where you're showing different steps so people could skip through your training. So it has uses beyond education, definitely like corporate training, how-tos, things like that. It's super useful for those. So continuing on with pizza, I will give another quick example. We've already shown some animation, but one thing we found is kind of effective is just keep the students kind of following along with the lesson. So first you're going to need an oiled pizza pan. I would check that step off when I'm done, tell people to roll out the dough and what that looks like when they've done it successfully, and check that step off so they're tracking you as you're talking. Maybe add the sauce, and we'll check that step off. Sprinkle some grated mozzarella on top, and then add your suppressata and spices, and you're done. And this would be a good time to say, well, if you have guests and you want to distribute the pepperoni in a sort of fair way, you might suggest cutting like this, or maybe like, that. Now, that's not really fair, but, suggest a cut before you move on. So, again, I've sort of created that part of the lesson. I'll skip ahead a bit. And finally, you say, cook this in the oven for 12 to 15 minutes at 450 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's it. That was the lesson. I could record something here, or I could just leave this up as a stop slide so when they get to this point, it doesn't advance on them. They'll have the instructions right in front of them. Now, if I really want to make a career of pizza-making how-tos, I would probably want some way of getting my audience feedback on, what lesson do you want to see next? And be able to collect that data and make my next lesson relevant to my audience. So one thing we can do here is add a quiz or a user poll. So here we have this quizzes, videos, and apps button. And I'll add a multiple response poll. This is sort of the standard Office apps model. So whenever you add a new app, in this case a quiz app, to your PowerPoint, it'll ask you to trust it, since you are sharing data with that app. And so I can ask something like, what's your favorite pizza? Who? So maybe we start with the standard and something like vegan. And we can add a few more fields and say, anchovies, suggestions from the audience, blue cheese,
plain cheese.
All right, yeah, that's better. there we go. And then I can get a quick preview of what the student will see, and my poll is done. So The next step after this would be to simply upload this to the Microsoft Cloud. So we give you a few quick steps where, you know, we'll check in the background to make sure that these slides are valid and will render correctly in the cloud. We'll look for things like, you know, ink off screen and things like that that would cause problems for students. We'll offer to make a video as well as the PowerPoint in the cloud so that it can be played back on even more devices. In this case, I'll skip creating a video and just move right along. It'll prompt me to sign in with my Microsoft ID, Google ID, Facebook ID, or org ID, so you can share with a variety of ID types. And one more click. And it's uploading. So that's it. That's the publication process. So while that is uploading, sometimes it takes a little while, I'll show you something else, which is we saw the Ohm's Law lesson. And you know, I mentioned that we are collecting some analytics about how students are actually, you know, watching that lesson. So in this case, you know, we shared this lesson out across the company and got 1,000 people to take the lesson and take our quizzes. And you can see, you know, pretty good. We start out pretty good, but you know, by the time it gets to the quiz, you have over 50% drop-off rate. So that's not good. You probably want to figure out how to refactor the lesson and, you know, make it more relevant or more engaging so people actually want to finish the lesson. We also see things like you know, quiz analytics. So we can see of the people who actually managed to take the quiz, you know, only half of them are getting the answer right. So roughly half are taking the quiz, half again are actually getting it right. That means only a quarter of your students are actually, you know, going to pass this lesson in any meaningful way. So it's really easy to start from an existing mix and enhance it, move things around, and try to fix problems that you're observing in analytics. So here's an example. So we actually have a great partnership with CK12 and Khan Academy. So if I want to go here and add to my mix, maybe some more information at the front of the lesson, I could go down here and say, OK, I want to add the CK12 app. And they sort of do their own search experience for finding relevant content. So I'll tap on the search bar and say, I want something about Ohm's Law. And they return a number of results. There's, it looks like, another lab activity and a couple articles. So I'll insert an article here that might help students understand the concept a bit. So, and I get a nice preview. I can scroll through. You can see there's an embedded YouTube video here, as well as some text and an actual worked example of Ohm's Law in practice. So the other thing I might do is move a quiz earlier in the lesson. I'll say, let's make this true false. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so the question was, could you put the quiz at the beginning of the lesson? Absolutely. These are just slides. You can rearrange it. After I add a quiz, I can move it to the beginning of the deck. I can move it to the end of the deck. You know, if I don't like if I don't like the drop-off rate, I could move the quiz right to the beginning or, you know, make it the second slide. You can have as many quizzes as you want. Okay, so here's a true-false question. I mark true as being the correct answer, and you can preview this as well. So pretty simple. And to answer your question about where this can go here, I'll just move it to the beginning. So there's another question. They're per quiz, but you can drill down per student, too. So you can see, you know, yeah, so you can see all the quizzes that one student took in the lesson and how they performed. Yes. So the question is, are we SCORM compliant, or can we work with a learning management system? This is work we know we have to do. We're trying to make sure we cover the most numbers of students with whatever we adopt. So that's sort of what we're looking at right now. It's something we're certainly planning. Okay, so the lesson is stored in Azure, in our service. The source code is always PowerPoint. So all of the recording, the quiz information, that travels with PowerPoint. So you could share that deck with a friend. They could upload it for their own class's use and share it with their class. So they wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. So you can edit it from SharePoint. You could share it on SharePoint and do edits to the lesson. You would still need to publish it in order to share out for it to work in the lesson player, and to get analytics and things like that. The common case with SharePoint is you would share a link in SharePoint so that if you wanted to provide a list of lessons for people to take, yeah. Sure. So right now, you could do completely private, meaning only you can see the lesson. You could limit it to your org ID. And right now, that's the lowest level of granularity we offer. This is another case where we know there are asks for lots more granularity, and we're just trying to understand. The reason we're doing a customer preview is to understand, how granular do we need to be for customers to find this useful. No, you need PowerPoint 2013 and our free add-in for creation. And then to take the lesson, they could use pretty much any device with a modern browser. And in preview, we have some limitations on exactly which devices get which experience. Some get just video, and some get the interactive version. Our intent is to support more and more devices. So we currently don't charge for the service for hosting the lessons. It's one of those things, if someone wanted to run an entire university off of this, we would be thrilled, but we may want to have some discussion about volume and things like that, yeah. Okay, so I think our uploaded lesson probably completed. So when it's done, you get this nice little link to your management page, so you can go share the lesson, get a link to share it with students. So the one with the new tag is the one that I just did. And I can go play. So say, hi, I'm Isaac. I'm going to show you how to build a pizza in the next few steps. This is me right here. PowerPoint still apply. I can do animations. So in this step, if I'm going to talk about ingredients, I can say, well, the first thing you need is dough.
If you remember, I said there are links that work in this experience. So right here, I can click on the make your own link, and I get the dough recipe on all recipes.
So right here, people can click my link and get a recipe for making their own dough if they want to go the hard way.
I'm sorry? Right, I paused So the question was, will the lesson pause automatically when I click a link? And the answer is no, it will run in the background tab, unless you pause it yourself. Okay, so I think we've covered pretty much everything in the demo. Switch back. Yeah, so they could go and set it private when they're done. They could leave it public forever if they wanted to. It's up to the author, how they control it. They could go delete it. As I've created these lessons, I tend to have a lot of drafts, and then I go back and clean up the drafts. Okay, so to get started, all you need is the free Office Mix add-in for PowerPoint 2013. Next you'll want to, you can start with existing decks. You could also start with just a blank deck and do sort of Khan Academy style inking on treating your slide as a whiteboard.
We see a lot of teachers doing that. You could also record presentation delivery in that lesson recorder experience that I showed you, and it's pretty simple. It really is just like getting in front of a camera and presenting your deck, or getting in front of a microphone and presenting your deck. And then add interactive content. So we have great partnerships with CK12, Khan Academy for sort of K-12 content. We're certainly looking to add more partners in other areas, both academic and non-academic. And then, once you're done sort of creating your lesson, just a few clicks and it's in the Microsoft Cloud to share with your colleagues or students. Then we do get a lot of questions like, so what exactly is a mix? And the best description is it looks like video, but it's actually PowerPoint hosted in the cloud. So this is PowerPoint Web Access Client. We've added a video and ink layer that is all coordinated so that the ink happens when the audio is happening at the right time and at the right point with slide animations and things like that. And then we add the playback controls so you have that nice lesson timeline where you can skip between slides and look for interactive elements along the timeline. You can also do things like speed up playback, so if you just want to skim a lesson, you can play it back at 2x speed. And of course, we also have an API for embedded quizzes and labs that pretty much anyone can use to create lab apps for Office Mix. And this is a 100-level course, so I won't go into this in a lot of detail, but this is the rough block diagram. You can start with basically your app and your host, reference labs.js and office.js. Labs.js actually abstracts most of Office.js, so you don't have to worry about interacting with the document if you don't want to. Labs.js provides the plumbing back to our analytics, so if you want to provide right and wrong answer information, if you're doing a special type of quiz, if you want to do branching or something like that, that's how you would use the Labs.js API to send back that information. You can interact with the lesson timeline, so if you wanted to, if the student answered correctly and you wanted to skip them ahead to some other point in the lesson, you could do that. So once you've written started with your app, modified it to support the Labs.js APIs, then you would publish to the Office Store the same way you would publish any Office apps to the Office Store. Part of that process involves filling out a manifest.xml file with a URL back to your app. And the end result is, your app would run in an iframe in the lesson player, as you would see here. So the question to this audience is really, what would you mix first? And would you time shift meetings? I mean, we think that people show up to meetings a lot unprepared, so if you could send a recording of your presentation in advance with like a poll or some quizzes at the end asking people for input, they might actually show up prepared for a meeting. So we think that's one great scenario. Certainly training outside of academic areas would be a great tool for that. How-to lessons for sports, hobbies, and crafts. We think there are already a lot of like web videos on how to, but when you can add the power of PowerPoint to do things like vector art and nice animations to a how-to video, we think it's a very powerful tool. And of course, the example I gave today, which is cooking. So for more information, you can go to mixoffice.com today and join the customer preview. All you have to do is download the add-in and get started. If you want to learn more about the Labs API, you can go to AKAMS Mix Labs. If you have questions or ideas for how we could make the product better, you can go to our user voice forum at AKAMS Mix Help. And of course, we're on Twitter at Office Mix Team. So with that, I'll take whatever questions you have. It's all HTML5. No plugins. Yeah, so pretty much any device. Yes. Sure. So it kind of all depends on how nice you want the lesson to look. I mean, it's true of any PowerPoint deck. If you want a bunch of great stock photography, you're going to spend a lot of time like sorting through stock photos and
that still needs to be professional enough to put in front of customers without embarrassing.
Sure. So the question is, especially for the people online, if I understand it correctly, is how quickly can you make a lesson, you know, and make it look professional? And I think it depends on the person. I think personally, I am not an expert at Photoshop and making stock photos look nice. So it was some work to put this together. If you have someone who, if you're doing professional lessons and you have someone who is a great graphic designer, then they could go through this fairly quickly. On the other end of the spectrum, if you're just a teacher and you want to explain a concept, you know, using your PC as a whiteboard, that's pretty quick. I mean, there's almost zero setup time. So there's a range, I think is the answer.
On one of the slides you showed where people had dropped off.
Yes.
Anything that'll
show by name? So if you're the teacher, the students you shared with, you'll see by name. Yes.
So you guys host this thing. Is there any opportunity for that part of it locally?
So that is not something we support right now. I think the infrastructure to run Wax in the cloud is substantial. So running in our service makes the most sense right now for most people. So sorry, the question there was, could you run this locally, right? So. Yes. So the question is, can you download the video? So that's the teacher's or author's option to create basically an MP4 as part of the publication process. The advantage to creating an MP4 is if, for performance reasons, the device won't play back the full WAC player, they can download a video. It's also good if connection speed isn't great, they can download the video and then watch. Of course, with video, you lose the interactive elements. You can't click a link on a video. But yes? Yes. Today, it's in our Azure service. So the question is, can you publish to SharePoint Online, for example? So yeah, today it's only published to our Azure service. You can still, you know, limit access to your org ID if you have Office 365. We're looking at other scenarios. We haven't really, right now, we're trying to figure out again, like, what will the majority of teachers and people use as sort of the, you know, the easy way to create and publish lessons. So, but the SharePoint Online question has come up before, so it's a good question. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, we can certainly restrict to the organization level. Department level isn't something we've implemented yet. It's feedback we've heard from customers. I think it sort of comes back to our first mission is to make it super easy for anyone to create and share a lesson. And yeah, I think the figuring out the right scenarios for enterprise is kind of the next thing. So I know I finished a little bit early, or a lot early, depending on how you're counting. So I'm happy to stick around and answer any other questions you might have. But otherwise, thank you again for coming out.